It's time now for this morning's press review with Leo McGuinn. And Leo, you start in the Middle East where tensions are on a knife edge. And how is the media covering the latest developments?
Yeah, I'll start with Haaretz, Oliver, which has been often critical of the Israeli regime and Benjamin Netanyahu himself. They say that Israel is in the midst of the most difficult period in its history under a reckless leadership headed by a man whose only promise he has made and kept to his people is to live by the sword. They say under his thoughtless leadership, Israel is taking giant steps towards a regional war. That's the sort of thing you'd expect from Haaretz, but maybe not from the other papers who have been closer to Netanyahu and the government. I'll start with Israel Hayom, because even they have a kind of air of caution this morning. And this is a paper who in the past has been heavily criticised for being too favourable towards Netanyahu. They asked the question, how far does Israel want to take this war with Iran? This piece says that they need to account for the possibility of a broader regional conflict because Iran could retaliate not against just Israel, but also against its allies from the US to Saudi Arabia and Jordan. So according to this, Israel would need to coordinate any attack with Washington. They also need to consider the impact of escalating the conflict in Lebanon and Gaza, which could flare up even more. Ynet, which is one of the country's most read news websites, say that they strike a similar tone, saying especially because any attack against Iran could push Iran to accelerate its nuclear ambitions and trigger a full-scale conflict. While speaking of Iran, the message is rather different in their dailies this morning. It's a more bullish tone. This is the Tehran Times. Iran's hand on the trigger, it reads. It's a paper very close to the government, and they point out that the attack of hundreds of ballistic missiles was in line with the UN Charter. Iran says it used only a portion of its capabilities in that strike on Tuesday, with multiple high-ranking Iranian officials. They've stated that they're ready to take more severe action if the regime continues its aggression and responds to those Iranian missile strikes.
And you move to the UK next, where Prime Minister Keir Starmer is on the front pages. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, well, this is the Daily Mail who are leading with this story. Starmer paying back more than £6,000 in gifts. You can see it also makes the front page of The Telegraph, who mentioned that part of that was paying back for Taylor Swift tickets, six Taylor Swift tickets, as well as four tickets to the races and a clothing rental agreement with a high-end designer. It comes after Starmer and other cabinet ministers have faced weeks of criticism for accepting freebies from wealthy donors. The PM has committed to tightening the rules around ministerial hospitality and improving transparency. The good news for Starmer, as reported by The Times there, is that he'll get to keep £32,000 worth of suits paid for him by a top Labour donor, as well as glasses costing over £2,000. The UK Prime Minister was in Brussels yesterday. We can see in La Croix meeting Ursula von der Leyen. He says he wants to turn the page on Brexit. This is the Financial Times reporting that the UK and EU have pledged to hold regular leaders' summits from 2025, with the first slated for early next year. Starmer said they'd agreed they can do more together in a few key areas, particularly when it comes to growth and prosperity. One of the most pressing issues on the agenda is youth movement. The European Commission had proposed a deal which would allow 18 to 30-year-olds from the EU to live in the UK for up to 4 years and vice versa. In response, Starmer said that free movement is a red line. The PM had previously stated he had no plans for such a scheme, and some in his government feared that would be too much like the return of free movement.
And now let's finish with some sport. There was a big night of Champions League action last night and a huge shock as Lille beat defending champions Real Madrid. How has the French press reacted to that monumental result? I'm sure they're cock-a-hoop.
They're cock-a-hoop indeed. Who saw this coming? Lille 1, Real Madrid 0. This is the front page of L'Équipe, the country's leading sports newspaper. The headline, Les Galacticos, of course. Real Madrid, often called the Galacticos, 15-time winners of the competition and defending champions. The only goal coming from Canadian striker Jonathan David. Just to put into context how impressive this win for Lille is, the Spanish side were unbeaten in 36 games until last night, going all the way back to January, and 14 games in the Champions League, including all of last season. L'Équipe are particularly full of praise for 22-year-old keeper Lucas Chevalier as the Lille number one almost single-handedly kept out Real Madrid's array of stars. This is Le Figaro Sport this morning, a momentous evening for a historic feat. They discuss a disastrous return to France for Kylian Mbappe. He suffered an injury last week, so he didn't start. He was on the bench, but Ancelotti was forced to use him. He came off the bench with half an hour to go in what Le Figaro called an unsuccessful and insipid performance. So a huge shock in the north of France, and there was another one across the channel. Aston Villa playing their first ever home game in the Champions League, beating German champions, well, German seven-time Champions League winners, Bayern Munich, 1-0. This is the Mirror Sport. What a hit from Duran. It was John Duran who scored the winner. They evoke memories of the 80s when Aston Villa were a European superpower. In fact, it was a rematch of the 1982 European Cup final when Aston Villa beat Bayern Munich to win the only European title. So they definitely roll back the years with the victory. Prince William, a big Villa fan, was in the crowd for a historic night. And for the Birmingham side, it's their first time in Europe's top competition in 41 years. They've won their first two games, so fans will have dreams of a repeat of 1982.
And they had to do it without the mighty Nigel Spink and Peter. That's all we have time for now, but do stay tuned for more news coming up on France 24.